typical. The story behind it is, remember I got that, I felt like I had a word from the Lord about us doing a corporate fast. And as soon as I had that, I had this idea that at the end of the fast, we could do a service that was just worship, no planned sermon. And I sat on that for a little bit, and that idea just burst forth within me. And I'm really excited about it. I think it's super powerful. For those of you who are fasting, great job. Good job fasting. If you fasted at all, great job fasting. If you didn't fast, I'm glad you didn't fast. Not for your sake, there's benefits to fasting, but I'm glad that not everybody in our congregation fasted because that communicates freedom. It was a choice for those that wanted to. That's beautiful. The other thing I wanted to share is that at the end of your fast, it's important how you end your fast. Not just physically important how you end your fast, but spiritually important how you end your fast. Notice when Jesus was tempted at the end of his fast. So God's wanting us to accelerate out of this fast, and I want to encourage you that as you break your fast, don't break your connection with God. Press further into that connection with God as you break your physical fast, and what will happen is this won't become a pinnacle of your walk spiritually. It's going to become a new plateau. That's the word of the Lord. Yeah. You're gonna go from this being what seems like a pinnacle maybe to what you've experienced before in the Lord to actually becoming a plateau to what he's going to bring you into next. And it's about a perspective and it's about how we break it, okay, spiritually. Okay, that's that. Secondly, for worship today, I had a word during pre-service prayer and it went something like this. Great to be with you all. It went something like this. I believe we're going to experience a new level of peace in our worship today. Now, that's not me saying we're not going to be exuberant in our worship today. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember, peace isn't the absence of exuberance or something like that. It's peace. It's its thing. What I'm saying is we are in a covenant of peace with the Father. We are his beloved children. I want to encourage us today to lay hold of that. I believe God's going to give us a revelation, a deeper revelation of operating out of this place of peace. There is zero performance from a child before his dad to please his father. Zero performance. We don't need to perform in order to please our Father in heaven. We don't need to act a certain way to please our Father in heaven. It's not complicated to worship him in a way that pleases him. We think sometimes we have to worship this super special way in order for it to be pleasing to him, but think about the three-year-old that comes up, and just the fact that they made me a card when I came back from out of town, that's what pleased me. The card was decorated with staples. I loved it. I loved it. I would have loved it less if my three-year-old had to go to a book to find the way that he was supposed to make a card for his daddy who was coming back into town and then made a replica card for me. I wanted the staple card, whatever was on his heart. So whatever's on your heart today, I want to encourage you, just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll let them get started. When you worship longer, you need some endurance. Part of the trick of endurance is that you gotta know, Aaron, sorry, I know you're gonna say this, you gotta know that it's gonna ebb and flow. It's gonna ebb and flow. You personally, sometimes during this worship time, you're gonna feel like, yes! Other times you might feel like, I feel a little tired. Or I feel like I just wanna contemplate with the Lord. Then fine, get up here, get on your face before the Lord, just talk with him, right? And then you'll feel it come back on you, go more. If everybody does their part, it'll be fine. We don't need to manage it or produce anything. Okay? Also, I know that I've already talked with a few people in particular, and there's a few others that know they always had the green light with me. If you've got a word, some people are going to have some words that get shared today, and there'll probably be some opportunity for prayer and things that get built in, but there's no planned sermon. But you can learn a lot in the presence of the Lord. There's some things you can learn in his presence, like Psalms 27 says, that you make inquiry before his presence. So, all right. Father, your blessing over this time. We welcome you in this place.
Yeah. We love. encourage you to take a position.
Thank you.
Sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. Name that's so much higher than all names.
He's going to lead us in communion, and then we'll continue in worship. Amen. I love that. Kids look forward to it. Okay, and then after communion, the little kiddos will go out for children's church. So the worship service is continuing right now, but we're going to do communion and then go right back into worship.
Okay, so we'll line up, get the communion elements, and take them together in a minute. received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread together. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's take the cup together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you. Your new covenant, the new covenant in your blood is so good. And we are free in you in it. We proclaim Amen. This new covenant Amen. In your blood. Amen. And we receive it by faith. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We remember and proclaim the breaking of your body yes. as we take this bread, Lord. We receive by faith the healing and health in our bodies for the breaking of yours. And we thank you for it. With joy set before you, Jesus, you bore this in your body. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, before the kiddos are dismissed, because maybe some of them could pertain, I felt like I heard the Lord this morning. What are they called? Persistent diseases? Or persistent, like, chronic. If anybody has anything chronic in their body, and you would like to, raise your hand so that someone around you, the ones around you, can lay hands on you and pray. You don't need to pray long. Just pray the prayer of faith. Here's what I want to remind you of. Remember John 16, I taught you guys on this, but we're still exploring it together, I know. It says that Jesus said, in that day you will ask as a favor nothing from me, but as you demand what is due to you because you're in me, you will see it come to pass. And so you're not demanding God. He's already provided it for you, but you're demanding for the healing that he's paid for. You're not just asking for the healing. The healing's been provided. You're going to demand the healing to come into their body right now. So who needs prayer? Is anything chronic? Raise your hand high so people can get around you. Get around them. Come on. Move your feet. Move your feet. Move your feet. Find them. Lay hands on them. I want you to find out what's going on in their body, what the chronic issue is, and that chronic issue must bow its knee to Jesus. Every knee will bow, including all disease. In Jesus' name, I release, and we receive the healing that God purchased on the cross in Jesus' name. I demand healing be released. I demand chronic sickness bow your knees. I demand. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Pray prayers that move God. That sickness is illegal in their body. It is illegal. If you saw someone doing a drug deal, it's illegal. You would stop it. It's not okay that that sickness is in their body. It's against the law of heaven. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity. Go in the name of Jesus. All infirmity, leave in the name of Jesus. Infirmity has no place here in Jesus' name. Good job, good job. If they can check it, have them check it. If it's not something that's checkable, you just still pray in faith because they can see it manifest later today or tomorrow or the next time they're at their doctor. Good job, guys. job, guys. Keep going. This is Christian recreation. How fun is it that you can cast out something that doctors haven't been able to get rid of yet? You didn't even have to go to med school. You just have to believe on Jesus. Okay, we're going to dismiss the younger kids in just a second once the children's church workers are ready. So kids, wait for me. But you guys can start worshiping again. You can feel free to just start worshiping if you'd like to.
Just look at our lives.
his banqueting table.
Your love is
Love came down.
I feel like the Lord wants to release. You can't work for this one. You just got to receive it. If there's something in your life that just hasn't been right, if there's a struggle that you've had, what if you got God's perspective on it? I know that sounds obvious, but what if you got God's perspective on it? His solutions are often so much different than what we think. So much different than what we think. His compassion level is so much higher. You would think that you would have the most compassion for yourself in an area of struggle. His compassion level is actually so much higher than your compassion for yourself. God sees all things. He knows your history. He knows your frame. He knows that you're but dust with his spirit in you. So he has compassion on you. He has compassion on you. Jesus was tempted in every way. Jesus knew what it was like to walk in this frame. He walked perfect, but he knew what it was like to walk in this frame. And I'm telling you, there might be things as we continue to worship that have been struggle points in your life. And what if God was to drop his perspective about that thing into your heart? What if the solution that you thought was a solution or the issue you thought was the issue wasn't the issue? Wouldn't that be good news? Because I'm thinking that's the news that he has for some of you. That you're going to find out that the issue that you thought was an issue this whole time in your life, he actually sees it as something else, and he has the solution for it as well. See, some of the things that worry us, God's not worried about. And part of what happens is that the worry actually becomes an insulation from the breakthrough. The worry becomes insulation. It keeps it He's wanting to send that breakthrough in, and you're actually insulating the breakthrough with worry. Okay? So he's wanting to release to you faith right now, a hope right now, I feel like is what he's stirring up. That what if the thing that's always plaguing you, the thing that's on your mind or some issue or some family dilemma or whatever it is, what if there was a better than you knew solution available for you in God? Because you might just get it in the presence of God during worship today. Okay? I release that to you, John, in Jesus' name. You just received it by faith. Okay? There's some others of you too. Okay? And God has better than you thought solutions for you. I can't overemphasize it, I feel like. It's different than the thing that you were thinking about. Stop pigeonholing God. Stop pigeonholing God. Small thinking is a big problem in the kingdom. And what happens is we think we know what the situation is, and we're asking God, talk to me about this situation, talk to me about this situation. He says, I can only talk with you about that situation so much, because that's actually not the situation. So how about I talk with you about the actual thing, and you're going to find out it's much easier than you expect, and my heart towards you is far more compassionate than you've ever thought. So I release breakthrough this morning. Breakthrough be released in Jesus' name. He's better than we think.
This is going to sound like I'm contradicting what Peter just said, but it's not, because God works in different ways and there's different things that are happening in people's lives. So sometimes the answer that the Lord is giving us, we don't see it because it sounds like our answer. So to give you an example, one time I was praying about a specific issue that was going on at work, and I'm like rolling it around in my mind, and this sort of nutso idea is rolling around in my mind, and I think I'm daydreaming. And then I say, Lord, would you please just give me an answer for how to do this? And he said, well, I've been giving it to you for 5 minutes. It's been rolling around in your head. And I thought it was a nutso idea that I was dreaming up because I was looking for an answer. Sometimes that's how the Lord works. Sometimes it's a nutso idea that's just rolling around in your head. And you got to test that before the Lord. Don't just take every nutso idea you have and go do it. Okay, wait for the confirmation of the Lord, but don't discount it. Let the Lord speak. Sometimes he's already given you an idea, and I feel like that is a now word for someone in this room.
Off what Peter was saying, I got the feeling that some of you, God wants to break something off you, and it's sort of like an ice storm came and just deposited a layer of ice around your heart, and you've been chipping away at it, and you don't know how you can break this off you, and you've just been like chipping away, and God's saying he's bringing a new climate that will melt that off you. And it's like Narnia, how he brought that whole new climate. It's just going to be a thaw that will just melt that away. And he's saying that as soon as that goes, it's not to have fear, because it might be uncomfortable because you're not used to it, and it's going to make you feel vulnerable. But just to push in.
Hey, I feel like I need to give this instruction. What did the blind man do when blind Bartimaeus do? Was it blind Bartimaeus? When Jesus came to town? Jesus, son of Nazareth, have mercy on me, right? Huh? Jesus, son of David, right? Yeah, not son of Nazareth. You get the idea. Okay, Jesus, son of David. What I'm saying is, guys, when prophetic words are released, you need to respond with more faith. I'm talking to our congregation. You need to respond with more faith. Because it's in the faith that you receive it. God's word's sitting there for you all the time. When does it profit you? When it's mixed with what? When a prophetic word can go out and you can nod your head and it will do nothing for you. I'm serious. You can sit there and think, that's for me. And it will do nothing for you until you mix it with what? You've got to mix it with faith. You've got to lay hold of it and say, that's for me. Yes and amen. Let it be done to me according to your word. When you do that, it'll catalyze. But if you don't mix it with faith, it will fall like seed by the wayside. The faith is what opens your heart and it gets planted deep. So I just want to encourage you as you hear these sorts of things, if it's for you and Sarah's saying, things are going to melt off your heart, a new climate's coming in, a softening of your heart and all that sort of thing. If you're there, oh, that's a good word. You know, it might not pertain to you, but if it pertains to you, you need to mix it with faith. Lay hold of it. Say, yes, God, be it done to me according to your word. That was an in-season word. I receive that. That's going to change my life. Thank you, Jesus. I write it down. I send a message to myself. I review it day by day. Thank you, Father. I make it a morning declaration. Thank you, Lord. You're melting any hardness in my heart and you're releasing softness in my heart. And give it a couple weeks and it will manifest into your life because you mixed it with faith. The key to a prophetic word is to not only receive it, but also to believe for it and to mix it with faith. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Then Sarah.
Yeah. So back, I don't know when it was, when Peter prayed over us about fear, and I think I was the first one up there. And I said, do you want to know what I'm afraid of? And he said, it doesn't matter. And so I didn't tell him. And he laid his hands on me, and I went down, and that was the first time I'd have gone down, and it was powerful. And what I was afraid of was I have dealt with claustrophobia and elevators, an issue, like, I think since I got stuck when I was 5. So anyway, last March when my daughter Christina had her 4th baby, Ivy, she had it in the hospital. Her other baby she had had at home. And all I could think about was going to see her and taking the elevator. And her kids got sick, and I couldn't take her other kids to see the baby because they were sick. And I was really relieved that I didn't have to take that elevator, and I was ashamed. And so my son and his wife just had their baby after Peter prayed for me. And I was excited to go to the hospital. I didn't even think about the elevator. And I thought, wow, this is weird. So we went to the hospital, and I went up the elevator, went down the elevator, and then we went back, and I went up, and I went down, and I looked at Don, and I sort of hit him. We were in the parking lot, and I said, aren't you going to say anything? And he said, I'm trying not to make a big deal out of it. And I go, it is a big deal. So then I had this trip planned to Atlanta last weekend with my sister for 4 days, and it's in 3 skyscrapers. It was a gift mart. She has a business, and anyway, she was talking to me on the phone before we left about the elevators and the escalators, and Don overheard the conversation, and he goes, tell her you've been delivered. And I said, Don's yelling over here saying that I'm supposed to tell you I've been delivered, and I'm not supposed to worry about that. So I went to Atlanta, elevator rides the whole time. I mean, 4 days. I've never gotten an elevator with more than 4 people. We were in the elevator at one point, and all these people kept coming in, and I was sort of facing the back, and I said to my sister, how many? How many's on? How many's on? And then we got off the elevator, and she said, there was 16 on there, and everyone was looking at you because you thought no one could hear you, but everyone was listening. I didn't care. I was so excited. So, and I've never gone in an elevator when it was full, and an elevator door opened and it was full, and I stepped in and my sister's just looking at me, and anyway, I've been delivered. And you talk about faith, and when I was my first elevator ride at the hospital when Danny and Taylor had their baby, I started thinking faith and fear can't coexist. And I've always said I'm a woman of faith, and if I'm a woman of faith, that's out of here, because I have been delivered. And so I just wanted to piggyback off of that, because
now, again, if that's a testimony to someone in here and your heart just got stirred about an area of fear in your life, receive it in Jesus' name and cast that fear out. Okay, Sarah.
I just forgot one thing. It's gone. basically, I've remembered, it's
God wants to give us new understanding and wisdom of what happens when we do certain things. So like the law of like when we give, we're actually sowing and we will receive in harvest, that kind of law. So it's a spiritual law of what happens when we pray and what happens when we worship. And I felt like God told me what happens when we worship, and it's that clouds in the spiritual realm get moved, and so God's light can shine on us. And I think that that's another way that he can shine his light on us and warm and heat us up to melt off that ice. And there's just an awesome picture of what happens when we worship, like the clouds get moved and heaven's light can shine on us.
Okay, I have three things, and all came to me here today. So the first one, one's a word, one's a breakthrough, and one is, what's the other? And I'll go with the word here first. The word is, when we were singing that song, I'm yours and yours forever. It's a promise, not from us to God. It's a promise from God to us. So, you know, we can stand in that promise. You know, we're not declaring that to him. We're just saying it because it is true. It's a promise. Okay. So that's the word. Okay, the second thing was a vision, sort of. So when we were singing Banner Over Me, our whole congregation is eating at the banquet table. We all have a banner over us, so it's love. And so we're like sitting at this big long table, kind of across from each other, and in front of every person, what's on the table is, I am the Word. Eat and drink and fill up. So on the plate is the face of Jesus smiling at me. So at us. So that's our meal with the Lord. Fill up and overflow. So that was the vision. And then the delivery or breakthrough. Yeah, thank you. Breakthrough is my whole life as a Christian, younger, was kind of a sort of a legalistic thing, and spiritual. The spiritual side was kind of like, say, like tongues and all that was not from the Lord. So 2011, I received the power of the Holy Spirit. Couldn't speak in tongues. Had to break through that. Sherry had spoke over me lots of times about it, and before I had the power of the Holy Spirit, I was like, yeah, that I'm just not buying it, you know. So I just couldn't help it. I had the wall on me, so in front of me or whatever, that's just not how it's supposed to be. So then I understood and kept trying to ask the Lord, so I did, and so I just started. So I don't know, maybe 2 years later, I think it took, but I've had the same thing, and I could repeat it at a whim, anytime, just the same. It probably was only a sentence or two. And then one day, Sherry's saying, now, Don, we're sitting in at home, she says, Don, do you remember what you, can you say, you know, in your head, can you remember what it is? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I can't. And I was like, oh, I never thought of it like that. But, well, today here, praying, I just started to do my sentence over and over. And then it just became all this. Yeah, sorry.
So yeah, it was all this. I can't tell you what I said, you know, but it was awesome. That's it.
That's amazing. I want to share a testimony of just breakthrough, or the ongoing process of breakthrough, and then just a word that I feel the Lord has for 2018. So we have an old, very, very old house built in 1893, and our heating and cooling capabilities are negligible in this house. There's like two registers for 1,000 square foot or so, and we have four small children and three pets, all like standing on top of the registers to stay warm. It's pretty bad. And I had some quotes to, you know, replace the HVAC system. It's difficult because we have a tall house, and they're really expensive, like $10,000 to $20,000. And there's a certain specific type of system that I would like to install. It's a high velocity system, which is even more expensive. And just on my own, I was in my office, I was praying, and just got into that place of where I felt like the Lord is like, you need to go ahead and ask what's on your heart. And I said, Lord, I need a solution to warm my house for my family, and I need it fast. And just this last week, I was talking with a contractor, a builder of ours, who's a believer. And I was just, I don't even know how we got on the subject. And I was just telling him, like, this is the kind of system I like to install. He's like, oh, we just tore a system like out like that, just like that, out of a client's house. He was a very, very wealthy financial individual here in Columbus. And he called him up and said, I don't care what it costs. I need you to replace my entire HVAC system because I can't stand this style. It's a high velocity system. And it was like $60,000 replacement of two systems. And he says, if you want, we got an extra one just sitting around. You can have it. It is, he said, it is as new. The guy had it in his house less than a year. Wow. It is as new. I had to figure out how to install it. But that is the within 2 weeks the Lord breaks through. So I want to share that with you guys of just get yourself into a place of faith where you hear the Lord say, go ahead. Go ahead. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what you need before you need it. He's been thinking about the solution for a long time. I mean, he had it torn out of a rich guy's house for me. You know? He set the table for me. I am blessed. 2018, I've just had this sense that it's going to be a year of, there's going to be breakthroughs in like productivity, where you will have to toil less for more results. Does that make sense? There are dreams that have been on the back burner or maybe even off the stove altogether that it's time to actually put them back on because they're going to become reality. Dreams that you had and you're like, that's not, the timing's not right. Timing's not right. This is the year where the timing is right for dreams. It's right. There is a level of faith. I feel like the Lord has just got his ear tuned to our congregation. He's dialed in the frequency. And he's like, got you loud and clear. You're not going to have to go through like months and months and months and months and months of waiting. Heard it once. That's all I need. I'm on it. Boom. And it's going to happen. I also feel like this a year where relationships that were fragile are strengthened and restored. So I just want to share that and release that with you guys as well. I love you guys.
Amen. That was wonderful. When you come together, everyone has a song, a hymn, a spiritual song. Let everything be done for building up. Isn't that awesome? That's maturity. It's precious. All right, well, I'll just pray a sealing. Father, you're sealing over this. And right now, I also release your sealing over everybody's fast, whatever extent anybody fasted. I pray now, Father, that all the fruit from that fast would come forth in its fullness. In Jesus' name, in each person's life and congregationally. I also even declare that those that weren't able to fast or didn't feel led to fast this time, they too shall reap the benefits of this corporate fast in Jesus' name.
Lord, we declare thy kingdom come and thy will be done in 2018 in each person's life and in Agathos and through Agathos in Jesus' name. Lord, like Kenton said, we are looking forward to breakthroughs in productivity in Jesus' name. Well, give these guys a round of applause. It's a long time to play for. Thank you. Thanks for serving us, guys. All right, God bless you all. Love you all. If anybody would like any more prayer, obviously, please do come up.